But okay, that was a nice rehearsal. Now let's read it. Everybody. But hold fast what you have till I come. Now give me the New Living Translation here, brother. Except that you hold tightly to what you have until I come. Now, backslide the translation. Watch this. Hold on to the truth you have until I get there. Are you all getting the point here? Well, 2 years ago, a woman came to our services that, for the sake of privacy, I'm going to call her Macaroni. Sister Macaroni came to our services, and she was suffering from a knee joint infection. And the doctor said they would have to put a kneecap, some kind of knee replacement. And she said, I was here. 10 years ago, Pastor Joe McCall prayed for me and I was healed. Then I told her, shame on you. Excuse me? Shame on you. Excuse me? Said your excuse. Shame on you. What do you mean, shame on you? I said, did you say that Pastor John McCall prayed for you and you got healed? Yes. And what happened? I don't know. Everything is coming back again. Well, then Pastor Paul is going to pray for you, and how long will it take before it comes back again? Are you always giving people a hard time like this? I said, no, I'm just trying to help you to stay healed. There is a reason why the sickness came back. I prayed for her. By the time I finished praying for her Tuesday morning, she started walking again without the cane. We blessed the name of the Lord. She disappeared, vanishing on thin air. 3 weeks ago, she showed up again on a walker. I said, wow, they took less time this time, huh? Can you please pray for me again? Sure. Before I pray for you, I want to tell you something, sis. The devil will come and steal all your blessing and all your healing without you even noticing. And this woman told me, I thought that when God healed me, I was healed forever. Really? Did you say that you thought you'd heal forever? Yeah. I said, do you like football? She said, I am a Ravens fanatic. I said, good. Now, who is the world champion right now? The Ravens. Are they going to be champion forever? No. Why? Well, because there's going to be people competing to take that title. That's exactly right. God gave you your blessings. God gave you healing. God gave you a miracle. But there is a punk, a low-life, good-for-nothing, useless piece of garbage called devil that's going to be competing to steal your blessing, to steal your miracle. So we went over few things, and I discover what was the problem, why she lost her miracle twice. Beloved, I want you to know that you will not enjoy the blessing of God without being contested by the devil. I'll say it again. I want you to know tonight that you will not enjoy the blessing of God without being contested by your greatest enemy, that low-life punk, good-for-nothing called devil. And you know, the sad part of it is that many battles are lost, and many blessings are lost on Satan's counterattack than in any other time in life. What do you mean counterattack? The devil will leave you alone for a while. Is that on the Bible? Of course it is. He came, he started tempting Jesus, and he's throwing Bible at Jesus left and right. And Jesus knocked him off with the Bible again. And the Bible says in the Living Translation, he got frustrated and he left Jesus alone for a while. And if he did that to the master, don't you think he will do that for us? He will leave you alone for a while, huh? But then he's preparing a counterattack. And that's where many people lose their blessings. What do you mean by that? Many people lose what God has given them when Satan makes his counterattack. Many people go back into poverty. Many people go back into emotional instability. Many people go back into mental torment. And then later they will say, I thought God had healed me. I thought God had blessed me. I thought God had visited me. It looks like I have lost it all. You didn't. You have to learn how to keep what God has given you. Amen. Hold on to the truth. You have until I get there. Even the Never Inspired Version says it good. Brother, give me the Never Inspired Version here, please. Only hold on to what you have until you come. I am here to tell you that the very fact that the Lord Jesus tells you and I to hold on to it suggests the idea that you can lose it. The very fact that Jesus said hold on to what you get suggests the idea that it can be taken away from you, it can be stolen from you. On the case that Sister Macaroni, after talking, before I prayed for her, I felt a strong urging in my spirit to ask her, I believe that you are a widow. Am I correct? She said, yes. What does it got to do with anything? I said, before I was going to pray for you, I saw a man on your bed. Excuse me? I said, do you want me to describe how he looks like? What are you talking about? The butterfly tattoo, right there. Did my daughter told you that? I said, I don't even know who your daughter is, woman. Well, he's my boyfriend. He's your boyfriend. And why haven't you married him or he married you? Well, you know, he's 25 years younger than me and the family don't want it. So, you mean to tell that because the family doesn't want you guys to get married, you are sleeping together with a man that is 25 years younger than you? You know how the Bible called that? She said, how? Fornication. Was he ever married? Yes. Is his wife dead? No, they are separated. So now it's adultery. The reason that this woman came back three times. Pastor John prayed for her. She was perfectly normal. Walking again. That was back when she was 45. 10 years later, she comes back with the same disease. I prayed. She got healed and she went back again walking normal. She's already 55. Now she comes back once again on a walker. Something is not adding up here. And the reason was sin in the life of Sister Macaroni. Let me tell you this, folks. This lady went back to her home on her walker because she is not willing to give up that boyfriend's of hers. I said, you know the sad part? He will dump you. The day that he discovers that you don't have money, he's going to dump you. Is it worth go limping around on a walker because of a man that is married? Turn your back on God's revelation. You see, The reason that this woman lost her healing is because she gave place to the devil. Let's go to Ephesians 4:27. Can a Christian do something, give place to the devil? What do you mean by that? Well, listen to Ephesians 4:27. Watch this. Maybe you should read it with me. Nor. How can a person give place to the devil? You are in church. You don't come to our church. You go to a church somewhere close to Aberdeen. And you say it's a Bible-believing church. It's a Pentecostal church. You're hearing the word of God. And yet you are choosing to live in sin. This is when you give place to the devil. That's when the devil has a legal right. Nevertheless, the Bible tells us to do the contrary. Listen to James chapter 4. James chapter 4, verse 7. While Paul is exhorting people here not to give place to the devil, people are giving place to the devil by such, for the lack of a better word, stupid behavior. When you come here, James say, submit to God and resist the devil. Paul tells us, don't give place to him. James say, resist the devil. Amen. And when we resist the devil, he's going to flee. Amen. He doesn't have any other opportunity. When do we resist, when do we stand on our ground, there's a way we're going to give place to him. When do we resist, he has to get on the run.
Yes.
He has to get on the run.
Amen.
Plain and simple. Now, did you know that you can lose your blessings and your healing either by sin in giving place to the devil, but also because of ignorance? Did you know that? Hosea 4:6 tells us that you can lose your blessing as a result of ignorance. Listen to this. My people are destroyed. Wow. My people are destroyed for the lack of knowledge. People are losing their blessings. People are losing their miracles because they lack knowledge. He goes on to say, because you have rejected knowledge, I also will reject you. Isn't that something? Because you have forgotten the law of your God, I will also forget your children. Isn't that something? That's quite tough, preacher. Well, God put it on the book. I did it. So what you're saying? That we should awake for the fact that we should not give place to the devil. If anything, we should resist the devil, and he's going to flee. But in the same way, at the same time, we should gain knowledge of the word of God, because the lack of knowledge will destroy us and will chase away our blessings. Folks, there are three things that the devil is determined to do. Brother, give him Matthew 12:43. The Lord Jesus Christ revealed to us in this scripture that one of the devil's strongest purpose is to come back against you. And by that I mean he wants to re-enter our lives in some phase. Listen to this. When an unclean spirit goes out of a man, he goes through dry places seeking rest and finds none. The next scripture. Then he says, okay, third graders, let's read it together. Then he says, you've been sick. There's a spirit of sickness in the body. We've prayed for you. We cast out the spirit of sickness. Send it back wherever it belongs. It's going to go out looking for a place to jump in. Can't find. He will say, I will return, get this, to my house. This low life is so presumptuous that he has the guts to call our bodies his house. He's too stupid to realize that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 2 and 3, gives us the idea why the devil thinks that your body is his house. Watch this, Ephesians 2, chapter 2. In which you once walked according to the course of this world. Isn't that right? According this low life knows that one time in our lives, we were out there, fulfilling the desires of the flesh. He knew that once in our lives, we were out there fulfilling all the lusts of the flesh, the desires of the flesh, of the mind, by nature, you know, a children of wrath. He knows that. When you made that decision to come to Christ, he didn't accept that move that you made. In his lousy mind, he was still his. Are you with me here? And this is where you and I need to stand that punk. He failed to recognize. Give me verse 5, brother. Listen to verse 5. Watch this. Even when we were dead in trespasses, God made us alive together with Christ. By grace, you have been saved. It's on the book. He knows the book, but he will not accept this. And this is what I say, that you and I supposed to be awake. Amen. You and I supposed to be watchful and hold fast what God has given you. Amen. Don't let it go. Hallelujah. Because this low life will come and try to make your life and my life miserable as much as it can. I'm praying to you. I don't like what you're saying. Well, one of the things you need to understand is found in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19. Hold fast to what you have by agreeing with God about what God thinks about you. When he comes trying to take your blessing away, when he comes trying to take your healing away, remind him. Or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God? You are not of your own. Now, if you are ignorant about this precept, you will accept the idea that you can get sick again. How do I do that? We fail to watch. We give place to the devil. Then we got sick again, and then we blame God for being sick. I thought God had healed me, but now everything is coming back again. No, God didn't make you sick. He didn't take your blessing away. But that low life, good for nothing, useless piece of garbage, thinks that your body is his home. And this is why they are talking among themselves, I'm going to go back to my home. Now listen to verse 20. Watch this. Verse 20. Same chapter, next verse. For you were bought at a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. So your body is not the house of demons. Your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit. Your mind is the Holy Spirit. You belong to God. And when the devil thinks he's going to go back to his house, back off, you low life, get out. And stay out. Amen. You cannot stay here because I've been bought by a price, and this body you're trying to take over belongs to God and belongs to the Spirit of God. People that suffer from mental illness forget that their spirits belong also to God. You know, can you imagine a demon gathering and one demon talking to another demon about you, about your body, and calling your body his house? Can you imagine? They are talking, hey, did you see that fellow from BCFC? Yeah, you got beat up by the preacher, huh? And the prayer warriors, oh, don't you worry, I will return to my house. That house belongs to me. Can you imagine that? Know your low life. It does not belong to you. It belongs to God. Friends, I want you to know that the devil is determined to return and to try to take control of our lives. Physically, mentally, financially, emotionally, in every way possible. Hallelujah. It's going to try to come back in some areas of our lives. John chapter 10, verse 10, tells us that when he tried to counterattack, a lot of people don't understand. The thief does not come except to steal, to kill, and to destroy. You got healed. He'll try to steal your healing. Then he's going to try to kill your body. And if you still hang by a thread, he's going to try to kill and destroy your faith on the living God. But you know, we can always run to the source. I have come that they may have life, and that they may have it more abundantly. Say with me, devil, you can't have my health. Devil, you cannot have my life.
You cannot have my family.
I can imagine devil talking to his prince of demons. Get out, steal what God has given them. Kill them, kill their family, destroy their business, destroy their peace, destroy their happiness. You know, Satan is an evil prince with demon forces under his command, and he sends them out to steal, kill, and destroy what God has given you and I. And my beloved friend, I would tell you something tonight. Sticking our heads in the sand and ignoring the devil will not make him go away. Because he will not. He will come at you and I at every side. Just ignoring the devil does not send him away. Because his plan is to kill and destroy. He's determined to steal everything God has given to you and I. And unfortunately, people get mad at God for what the devil does. What do you mean? The devil does the nonsense when the people are unaware of this, and they go out telling God did it. I've heard people, in the 5 years that I've been here, heard people say, well, preacher, God killed my mother. No, God didn't kill your mother. You know how much we pray, and we pray, and we pray, and we pray, and we fast, and she ended up dying. What is God? Recently somebody said, God took my health away. I said, then you have been pretty messed up for God to take your health away. So what you're saying? The devil will try to kill and destroy your life and your health and your blessings. But I have good news for you. And I have bad news for him. He's not going to be able to do it. So, what do I do? Let's go to 1 Peter 5:8. 1 Peter 5:8. What do you do? You already know that you cannot be ignorant. Is that right? Now, here's the thing that what every Christian misses. Number one, be sober and be vigilant. Now, you remember that when you were on eighth grade and you're about to go to high school, in order to go to ninth grade, no, high school is 10th grade, right? Ninth grade? So when you are ready to go to high school, from eighth grade to ninth grade, you need to do something to get to high school. What was it? You need to graduate. You need to do a test, isn't that right? And you need to pass that test in order to enter high school, isn't that right? Paul says that we grow from glory to glory. The way that you move from one glory to another level of glory is by passing the test. And one of them is being sober. Now, you all know what sober means, right? Okay, let's do this. Sweetheart, if you had to tell a 3-year-old what sober means, what would you say? So a kid came.
Drink milk.
Drink milk. Okay. Now, a 3-year come and ask you, Uncle, what is being sober means?
Clear-minded.
Okay. What do you think?
Sound-minded.
Wisdom. Michelle.
Not being silly.
Watchful.
Stay focused.
But get this. Go check the Greek New Testament. It's almost like, don't be drunk. Don't let your thoughts confuse you. Be sober. Focus.
Hallelujah.
Sound-minded.
Hallelujah.
Concentrate on it.
Amen.
James is telling us here, or Peter is telling us here, be sober. Don't let what is happening around get your mind confused and you lose focus of who you are and who God is and what God is doing. Now here comes the most difficult part. He says, be vigilant. You know, contrary to popular beliefs, the devil is not going to show up like that ugly thing, 6 feet tall. It will not. It often manifests itself in the most cutest thing that you can ever think. Somebody come and ask me, what's wrong for me to carry this crucifix? It's so cute. It's a crucifix. It can do you no good. If you give me, I'm going to step on it right now, and see what happens. Nothing happens. So if nothing happens, why is a problem for me to carry it? Because of the reason behind you carrying the crucifix. And I could go on and on and on and on. The devil will attack in the most sophisticated way. And this is when you and I have to be vigilant.
Hallelujah. Amen.
This is when you and I have to be sober to discern when the devil is attacking us. Or when some things will happen to us as a result of our own stupidity. If it says in here 40 miles on Liberty Road, and I decide to do 90, and the police stop me down the street, oh, the devil, no, it was my own stupidity. But then again, if I'm here driving at 38, and the speed limit is 40, and I have some cop flash me on the back, and I'm all legal, devil, you're a liar. This is when I have to be sober and vigilant to learn to discern when the devil is attacking. And sometimes we let ourselves off guard and he, bam, knock in because he wants to come back. Because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. The devil says, I will devour them. Watch. But you know what? Bad news for him, because you and I are sober. You and I are vigilant.
Amen.
We are on our toes, huh? We are keen.
Hallelujah.
We are not apathetic or careless about the things of God. We are not going to let our guard down. Say amen.
Amen.
You know, that's a sad part of the Christian life. It's like a tragedy that while the devil, our enemy, is so vigilant, so constant, so alert, and so active, trying to find somebody in God's kingdom to devour, many of God's people are not alert at all, or not even active. I met a man yesterday. He has a weird kind of cancer. He beat cancer 5 years ago, leukemia. Now the cancer came back in another form and has to do something, tassels and whatever, I don't know what that is. Some crazy kind of cancer, and there's, has to take the tassels or whatever. It's some weird kind of cancer that is, they're going to have to cut him, move the thing as one part of his intestine aside, and then do whatever they have to take, and then when he goes to take chemotherapy, it's going to be there so it will not affect whatever they're going to move out of the way. My Lord. So I told him, well, may I pray for you? For what? He said, I pray for cancerous people and they get healed. You know what he told me? I know that God can use his strange ways. But you know what? And then he moved the conversation to talk about the ravens. Today we stopped by his place, and he has been told that he got 1 year to live. Some people will tell me, I don't want to get involved in this faith message thing, you know. I don't want to get to this extremist thing, you know. One fellow once told me, I don't trust the Bible. Another one told me, I don't want to get involved in this nonsense. Like somebody once said, they just want to rock a bay baby in their little denominational cradle and go to bed early and don't get too involved in services like ours. The sad part is the enemy is alert. And we ought to be alert, sober, and vigilant. He's an idiot. He's walking around like a roaring lion, seeking one he may devour. Folks, Satan is out there to do three things in order to take from you what God has given you. He will say, I will return to my house, because in his stupid mind, he thinks our bodies is his house. But he's defeated, mistaken. Yes. He's out there trying to steal, kill, and destroy everything that God has given you. He's looking for people that are not paying attention to the word of God and try to devour not only the person, but the blessings God has given us. Again, you may ask, preacher, what do I do? Back to Revelation 2:25. The Lord Jesus Christ makes it very clear for you. Revelation 2:25 says, hold fast what you have till I come. How do I do that? You have been prayed for a infection on your knees. It's trying to come back. Satan, back off, you idiot. I've been healed by the stripes of Jesus, so you can't come back. Get out and stay out.
Hallelujah.
Healing is mine, and Jesus has not changed. Yes. Hebrews 13:8 say that he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. So back off.
Amen.
Back off.
Yes, Lord.
Hold fast what you have. Amen. God gave you a nice car. Yes. Then all of a sudden, things start acting stupid. Lay hands on it, Satan. Back off. God gave me this car, and you ain't going to take it from me. So back off, because this is a gift of God. And Jesus said, God give good things to his children. So back off and get out. Amen. One of our services in the tent, we were talking about this, and a beloved saint from the People's Republic of Pennsylvania was present on the service. And she said she's driving to, I think the place called Scranton. Something like that. Scranton, right? And then the car is 2 years old and the car starts jerking. And end up stopping along the highway, the expressway. She said, "Preacher, I got out from that car with such an anger. Satan, you idiot, get out of the head of my car. In the name of Jesus. God gave me this car, so back off." She said, and I got up, turned in the key, and the car drove away. I said, "That's my girl."
Praise God.
Hold fast to what you have.
Yes.
Huh? Hold fast to what you already have. Yes. I think the King James says already have, doesn't it? I read it somewhere. Yeah. But that which you have, already have, huh? But that which you have already, hold fast until you come. You already have salvation. You already have healing. And now God is blessing you. That blessing is already here. Hold to it. Don't give up. Don't let it go. Don't let that punk steal it away from you. I believe that the reason God tells you and I to hold fast is because there is a force that is going to try to pull it away from you. Amen?
Amen?
Do you think that I can really do this? Well, Matthew 9:23 says you can. So what you're saying? Stand up tall in your spiritual life. Listen to this. When Jesus came into the ruler's house, Mark 9:23. Mark. Did I say Matthew? That's Mark. I'm sorry. I'm getting excited here. Mark 9:23. Watch this. Jesus said to him, "If you can believe." If you can believe in holding your blessings until Jesus comes, it is possible for you to hold your blessing. If you can believe in holding on your healing, it is possible to remain healed. Because all things is possible to those who believe. Here's another way for you to keep your blessing. You need to understand that you have overcome the devil. 1 John 4:4. You need to speak in a loud voice, "Devil, back off, you punk, because I have overcome you." Watch this. 1 John 4:4. You are of God, little children, and you have because. You have to teach yourself it is possible to keep what I have. Because I am a child of God, because I am an overcomer,
yes,
I have overcome the devil already, and greater is the one that is in me right now than the devil and all his punks working with him.
Hallelujah.
This is how you hold what you have. In other words, your greatest dream, your highest aspiration can come true. If you would understand that you need to lean on God, because all things are possible for those who believe in God. So how do I go about all this, preacher? Well, concluding tonight, all you need is to find the scripture that pertains to the specific situation that you're going through right now, and then believe on it. You know, many of you could have been healed a long, long time ago. If only you had known about it and believed God for it. My brother was here, and he's kind of crazy about seafood. I mean, we used to live 2 blocks away from the sea. You know, and every afternoon we go, the fishermen come with the fish. We just help them to pull in the big net, and we carry sardines and anchovies for free, just for helping pull the fish in. They took the big ones, and we took the little ones, the net. Huh? And so he likes fish. Oh, boy, fish, fish, fish. There is a place in the Reisterstone Road that stinks like a dump, but they sell fish in there. It's Lion's Mills in Reisterstone Road. So wait a minute. Red Lobster. So we went to Red Lobster, and this boy had a feast. I'm not too friend of junk food, but I had to go. Marsh is not home, and I had to cook. So, you know, I needed a break. And we went to Red Lobster 3 days. All of a sudden, I start sleeping. Funny, I couldn't sleep throughout the night. I'm thinking, devil, you are an idiot, so back off. Back off. Get better, next day again. So I asked the Lord, the tip here, Lord, what's going on here? The Lord said, your cholesterol is high. Huh. How? Red Lobster. Told my brother, you are not going to Red Lobster anymore. The Lord told me to take the medicine for cholesterol that he made. I did. Garlic. 3 cloves of garlic, chop off in half, on a 12 ounces water, boil it, and then... Would you believe that I end up forgetting to do that? And after being without a good night of sleep for 10 days, I went back, Lord, what is wrong with me? I told you. High cholesterol. That's right. Got into my kitchen, get the garlic inside the calendula, and shot it. Did you know that day before yesterday to yesterday, I slept until 8:30 in the morning? And this morning was close to 8 o'clock in the morning. No, I just got the calendar together, threw on it, and then put the garlic, and then cook it together, and then just put it aside like if it was juice, like it was a tea. And God started working with it. So what you're saying, preacher? What I'm trying to say is very simple, folks. If we would just pay attention to what God is saying, on his word, we could have been healed a long, long, long time ago. If we just pay attention to what God is saying about the devil coming and trying to steal our blessing, just paying attention to it, we could have been the happiest people on the planet. Now imagine, this fellow is the preacher, and he still didn't pay attention to this. And you know what? Had to go through some rough nights until I got my act together. Let me tell you this in wrapping up. Every time that the devil comes to you and try to steal your blessing, try to steal your miracle, remind him of Romans chapter 8, verse 37. Speak it in a loud voice. Every time he comes to try to steal your miracle, to try to steal your healing, to try to steal your peace, to try to steal the blessing that God has given to you, remind him of Romans 8:37. Read it with me. Yet in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. devil back off, you idiot, because I am more than conqueror. You can't have my miracle. You can't have my family. You can't have my blessing. You can't have nothing that is mine for that matter. In the name of Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Say with me, devil, you can't have my family.
Devil, you can't have my family.
Devil, you cannot have my health.
Devil, you cannot have my health.
You cannot have my job.
You cannot have my job.
You cannot have my blessing.
You
cannot have my children.
You
cannot have none of my possessions.
Because I'm holding fast to what I already have.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.
Glory to God.
Hallelujah.